As you can see, this morning I want to address the subject of God's traffic signs. Now, you can imagine that it would be, well, really unimaginable, I might say, to have a road system or to try to travel a road or street system without the benefit of traffic signs. We're so accustomed to the help that they can give us in order to negotiate our way through a maze of roads and streets and get to our destination safely and expeditiously. For instance, imagine if all of the stop signs in your community were all of a sudden taken up and they disappeared. You can imagine, you'd probably get panicky over something like that. It would be difficult to drive or drive safely. So stop signs and other kinds of traffic signs are very important. If we were without them, we would not only find traveling inconvenient, but we would also find it very dangerous. And I say all of that to say, likewise, God in His loving care has provided us with what we might call, and I can put this in quotes, traffic signs in His Word to help us negotiate our way safely through the roads of life to heaven. And in this analogy that we're going to be using, of course, the road would represent life. The vehicle would be our minds or bodies. And the traffic signs are the Bible. And finally, the destination, of course, is heaven. And as is true of literal driving, travelers on life's journey need to read and obey the warnings and information in God's Word in order to get safely to heaven. There have been times in my life when I have not been careful to read the traffic signs as I should have. That's my responsibility as a driver, and I've not always fulfilled that responsibility, and I've gotten myself into trouble not doing that. So we need to be careful, not just in life, but in our spiritual journey, to be careful to read the traffic signs. They're there for our well-being and our safety, and in a spiritual sense, for our salvation. So this morning, let's look at some traffic signs that God has, different kinds of traffic signs that God has provided for us in His Word. And don't mean to scare you, but I've got 12 of them, but we're going to run through them very, very rapidly here. This will be the only time now when we can go rapidly through a stop sign. As a matter of fact, that's going to be our first one. God has given us stop signs in His Word. He has basically said, don't do that. Of course, the literal stop sign is very important. Sometimes it's so important where we'll even have signs before it saying, stop ahead. It's very important to do that, because if drivers were to, as we say, run through stop signs, they would hit other vehicles perhaps, and you know, either get themselves or others killed, or property damage would mount up. So we have to be very careful not to run traffic signs, stop signs. That's true of God's Word. At various places, God in His Word has said, stop, don't sin, bring your life to a halt. Okay? If you've been involved in sin, then here's where you need to stop it. Stop it. So in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verses 33 and 34, Paul says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. And he goes on to say, become sober-minded as you ought, and stop sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. So, just like we have stop signs in the roads of life, we have stop signs in God's Word. There are dangers there. We can't run through these stop signs and ignore them. If we do, we're going to hurt ourselves or hurt someone else or both. Of course, the danger we need to avoid is sin. Sin is contrary to our spiritual interest. So we have got to stop so as to avoid collisions with sin in life. We've got to stop what we're doing, look and listen, turn around, see if there's anything contrary to our way before we go on with life. Second, you're probably aware that there are, well, yield signs in life. And for this, I'm using Romans 6, verse 19 out of the King James Version, because the King James Version explicitly uses the word yield there. But it's true. In life, there are yield signs, that allow drivers to proceed safely only after they have looked to see if there's any traffic coming. If there is, then they have to yield the right of way to others. Well, God's Word also has its yield signs in it. Let me turn first of all to Romans 6 verse 19 and notice what it says there. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh, Paul says, for just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now yield your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. And again, I inserted the word yield there instead of the ordinary reading of the New American Standard. That's the reading of the King James Version. There are yield signs in God's Word that He puts there for our help. They require us to slow down, check for others, and perhaps even stop in deference to their right of way. Now, as Christians, we need to understand that there are a lot of yield signs, or some yield signs anyway, in God's Word. The Bible tells us to yield or submit, would be a synonym, to government, Titus 3 verse 1. We've got to submit to our employers, Ephesians 6 verse 5, to elders, Hebrews 13 verse 17. To parents, Ephesians 6 verse 1, to wives are to submit to or yield to husbands, Ephesians 5 verse 22. But, might as well go to Ephesians 5 verse 21. There is a sense in which we are all to yield to one another. It says, and be subject or yield to one another in the fear of Christ. The Christian has got to be prepared to humble himself and yield frequently. He cannot afford to be proud and insist that he knows better than everyone else and ought to have his way all the time. You know, I got the sad news in speaking to a friend just this past week who told me that the church that once existed, that he had once worked with, has now disbanded, has ceased to exist. And according to what he told me, and I find this believable because I've seen it in other situations before, there was one man whom he says, and this might have been his opinion, but was mentally ill, and he just caused all sorts of problems until people began to leave. And finally it got so bad that the church just got down, literally to nothing, because, as I said, it disbanded. That's the sort of thing that you see when people are not prepared to yield to others, to be in subjection to their brethren. Also, instead of identifying some sins, God speaks generally. He gives principles to people to tell them to slow down, to check His Word, to see if these principles in His Word apply to them or their situations. And so they might, in some situations, have to ask themselves, wait now, before we proceed, we need to ask, do we really have authority in God's Word for doing this? We need to check and see if we need to, this is an area in which we need to yield our inclinations to what God's Word says. So, we need to observe the yield signs in God's Word. But also, sometimes we have signs saying, enter, or even the word entrance might be used. Sometimes, I guess, whoever puts up these traffic signs becomes, or maybe it's a case of a private business, gets so concerned that people know where the driveway is into a particular place that they sometimes post signs right by the entrance saying something like, enter here, or entrance, something to that effect, to tell people where they need to turn in, where it is safe to do so. Well, likewise, God is so concerned that people be able to identify and follow the road leading to heaven that He has plainly marked that road. Enter here. This is the entrance. If you want to get to heaven, this is where you need to go. As a matter of fact, in Proverbs 9, verse 4, wisdom is personified there. And she is actually inviting people to, or telling people they should, in these other words, turn in here. This is the proper way. This is the entrance to the road to heaven, or the road of wisdom. This is where the pathway, or the road that you need to follow. Turn in here. But also, sometimes we have the very opposite of that. Sometimes some ways are marked, do not enter. In addition to scriptures like Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, saying, you know, enter this way by the narrow gate, the narrow way that leads to heaven, some roads say, do not enter. So in Proverbs, the 4th chapter, verses 14 and 15, we have words to that effect there. Proverbs, the 4th chapter, verses 14 and 15. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. And you might want to keep your finger or some sort of marker right there, because we'll be coming back to this passage in just a moment. But for right now, I want us to observe that sometimes in life, the wrong way and the right way look very much alike. And so, sometimes the wrong way is said. I mean, you've probably seen signs to this effect. It's equivalent to saying, do not enter wrong way. For folks like me, that can be really helpful sometimes, because I may not be paying real careful attention, or, you know, it looks like it ought to be the right way, but it's not. So when I see signs that say wrong way or do not enter, that's real helpful to me when I'm driving. I know that's not the way for me to go. I don't want to go that way. Well, the same is true of God's Word, which seeks to avert disaster on our part by explicitly alerting people to the fact that some ways in which people live their lives are disastrous, absolutely catastrophic. I've seen this again and again in life, and I thought, you know, why did you ever start going down that way to begin with? You've probably seen others who have suffered in this way. You know, I don't understand, for instance, why people even begin taking drugs, because we've heard so much about drug abuse and how it kills them. We've got an opioid epidemic that is killing, well, you know, scores if not hundreds of people supposedly a day in this country. And I wonder, why even start down that way? It's not worth it. So, in the Bible, we've got the Bible telling us that, oh, see this way here? Got a big sign there saying, wrong way. Do not enter, or words to that effect. So that the best way to avoid disaster is not even to enter upon that way. Now, remember I said I've got my marker here at Proverbs 4, but let's jump ahead to John 4, verse 6, because there we have a one-way sign. Jesus said, I am the truth and the life and the way. So, He's telling us, in effect, I am the one way to heaven. So that drivers will not turn into oncoming traffic on streets which permit traffic going in only one direction, some streets are marked with one-way signs. It's not that unusual. I was going to pick up Leslie at some place not too long ago, and I was hoping to be able to get more directly to her. So I planned my route, and I was going to take a left, but then I looked ahead and saw the place where I was going to turn marked with a one-way sign, and it was going to the right, pointing to the right. Can't go that way. Got to go around the block to pick her up, because that street permitted traffic only one way. Now, contrary to what some think and say, there is only one way to heaven. As a matter of fact, we have a scripture in Jeremiah 32, we know from verse 40, this is a messianic prophecy talking about the new covenant. Jeremiah 32, verse 40. And we know it's talking about the new covenant, the New Testament, because it says, "And I will make an everlasting covenant with them." But before that then, it says in verse 39, "And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me always for their own good and for the good of their children after them." He says he'll give them one way. And that's, of course, God's way. There's only one name, Peter said in Acts 4, verse 12. There's only one name that has been given under heaven whereby men must be saved. So, God has not given as many ways to heaven as there are people who want them, but has given just one plan of salvation for everyone. The plan that I have to obey in order to be saved and go to heaven is the same one that you have to obey and everybody has to obey. We don't have customized plans or customized ways for everybody who prefers those ways. No, there's just one, and we've got to take it or leave it, to be quite frank about it. Now, I said we were going to come back to Proverbs 4, verses 14 and 15. Let's do that now. Sometimes there are even, do not pass signs that are posted. To ensure safety, drivers may not pass in some zones. So, those zones may be marked precisely with a sign saying that, "Do not pass." Okay? It's not enough just to have a solid yellow line in your side there. They've even put up signs saying, "Do not pass." It's too dangerous to pass in this area. Likewise, to ensure spiritual safety, God identifies some areas in life that are too dangerous even to pass. Sensible people who care for their well-being will not pass near them. Again, Proverbs 4, let's just read verse 15 again. "Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on." Don't even get near it is the idea. Don't pass by it. It's that bad. So, we've got to go in some other safe direction, because a person is a fool who passes near the house of the wicked so as to be enticed to enter it. It's interesting that in Proverbs 7, the story is told about a naive, foolish young man who passes near the house of the wicked, adulterous woman. That was his problem. He was passing in a no-passing zone. Don't pass even near wickedness. Sometimes God explicitly posts signs in His Word saying, "Do not pass." Also, sometimes God posts "No U-turn" signs. Now, the expression "U-turn" doesn't occur in the scriptures precisely like that, but we certainly have the equivalent of such in the scriptures. In Psalm 85, verse 8, for instance, says, I will hear what God the Lord will say, for he will speak peace to his people, to his godly ones, to them, to let them not turn back to folly. Well, that's what a U-turn sign is saying. You can't turn around. You can't go back in the opposite direction there. Likewise, in Luke 9, verse 42, Jesus said, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. We're not allowed to go in the opposite direction. So, because it is sometimes considered dangerous to change directions by turning into oncoming traffic, you know as well as I do that some intersections are marked with no U-turn signs. Now, these are some of the most aggravating signs to me. I know they're put there for my good, but sometimes I really like to make a shortcut and turn around sooner and go back in the opposite direction, but you can't do that. I mean, here in New Jersey, we learned you got to be pretty careful because sometimes you get on the interstate and you miss your exit. You may have to drive for miles before you get to the next one, and so you've got to be careful. I think that's up on 78, but anyway, you got to be careful. You can really get out of your way, you know. So if you try to exit, or if you don't exit when you should. But it is also so dangerous to make U-turns on the heavenly road and reverse one's course and go in the opposite direction that God has directly warned against doing something like that. He has told us, don't do that. You can't turn around. Those who have been converted to Christ have already made the most important U-turn in their lives that they could possibly make. And God is saying, you've already made one U-turn. You're going in the right direction now. Don't make another U-turn. There is no reason to reverse the direction of your life if you are a Christian with your face pointed toward heaven. There are even a couple of scriptures that say that those who have been converted to Christ and have fallen away, Matthew 12, 2 Peter 2, that tell us the last state with those people is worse than the first. The Israelites made the mistake, as Stephen says in Acts 7, verse 39, of turning back, making a U-turn, or wanting to make a U-turn anyway, and go back to Egypt after Moses had led them out of Egyptian bondage. They wanted to do a U-turn. Go back to slavery. No, don't do that. The heavenly roadway is not designed for U-turns or exits. There's no need for any. It is the way which is right and cannot be wrong. So once a person gets on it, there's no reason to stop, to get off, or to turn around. You don't need any exits on the roadway to heaven. But also, sometimes there are signs indicating that ahead you need to be careful. There are curves in the road, and they can be particularly dangerous. In Philippians, I've got several scriptures here for this. Maybe we'll just confine ourselves to Philippians 2:15, because I think it makes essentially, or the other two scriptures make essentially the same point as Philippians 2, verse 15, that the way of life can be crooked with wickedness. We need to be careful about that. So, in Philippians 2, verse 15, it says, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach, in the midst of a crooked, read curved or curvy, and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So, there are signs to warn drivers when they are approaching curves so that they can slow down and be prepared to negotiate them, lest their momentum, their speed, take them off on the shoulder and perhaps, you know, down off the roadway in a crash of some sort, or they go the other way and they hit oncoming traffic. That would be disastrous. So, we have these signs saying curves ahead. You need to be careful here. You need to slow down. In the same way, those who are traveling on a way which is curvy or crooked or warned in God's Word to slow down. Satan would like us to maintain our momentum in life despite the curves that he throws at us, because he would like us to, you know, be forced off the roadway into disaster, into destruction. In Acts the 13th chapter, we have the story of Paul meeting with a false teacher, a false prophet by the name of Bar-Jesus, of all things. And he is trying to dissuade the governor of the island not to believe. Paul confronts him very sternly and says in Acts 13 verse 10, "You who are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord?" It's the ways of the Lord that are straight and right. It's the ways of Satan that are crooked and that will get us into trouble. As a matter of fact, it was prophesied that the ways of the Lord would be straight. That was the job of John the Baptist, in a sense. It was written concerning him in Isaiah, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Make ready the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." It's the paths of the Lord, the roadways of the Lord, that are straight, free of the dangers of the curves in the road. But also, we're told on some signs to slow down. Slow down. And you've probably seen these signs around. I don't think any of these signs are unknown to you or strange in any way. But in James 1, verses 19 and 20, it says, "This you know, my beloved brethren, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." Now, let me stop there. Notice you've got two slows and only one quick. Okay? Not very often. Sometimes you'll be told, don't go any slow. Minimum speed signs, you have something like that. It can be dangerous if people go too slow. I understand that. But typically that's not a problem. I mean, there have only been a few minimum speed signs that I've seen as opposed to, top speed signs. Usually, those who are concerned about this, the traffic regulators and so forth, would prefer that people tend to go more slowly. But again, as in real life, some areas are so dangerous, whether for pedestrians or for drivers, that there are signs posted telling drivers to slow down your vehicles. And indeed, as we've seen, the Bible does warn its readers that there are especially some areas in life which require them, if they're going to be safe, to slow down. Some people are not sufficiently knowledgeable or skilled in some areas, but yet they will plunge ahead in areas that they don't know anything about, perhaps, and they instead need to slow down. Others are so impulsive and impetuous that they do not take the time to study a situation, to study the Word of God and how the Word of God might apply to it, and determine what God would want them to do before they proceed. Instead, they ought to slow down and make sure that they've got it right first. Just a few more signs. The next one is that children present are words to that effect. Slow down. There are children that might be a school zone, might be a place where you have children playing, such as a playground or whatever. And people are especially concerned about children. So drivers are warned to be especially alert for any nearby children. Why? I mean, you don't see signs saying warning or slow down, adults nearby. Why not? Sometimes you see that with children, but not with them. Because children are too young to appreciate the dangers involved in going out into the roadway. So, we, in cases like that, we've got to depend upon those who are adults, the drivers, to watch out for them because they may not watch out for themselves. So we have these signs saying, children present, or words to that effect. So you need to be especially careful, particularly need to slow down. Likewise, the Lord warns parents and others who are concerned with the instruction of and the rearing of children to have a special regard for their welfare so that the children can be taught while they're still teachable by those who have the greatest influence over them, who can encourage them to walk in the ways of the Lord and to avoid sin. In Proverbs 22, verse 6, we have this instruction then regarding children and how we are to teach them. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And there's instruction given, especially to fathers, in Ephesians 6, verse 4, to teach their children. So, need to be careful. Need to be careful about our children, especially. It may be we'll have a relatively short window of time in which to influence them for good. We need to take advantage of it. Then we have some signs warning us that the road is slippery. Drivers are especially warned when certain areas or road surfaces tend to be slippery. So they can adjust their speed and be more careful not to slide off the road because they might hit those wet or icy patches. They need to be prepared for that by slowing down. Likewise, the Bible just as surely warns that the way of the wicked is slippery. In Psalm 73, verse 18, we have these words regarding the wicked. Surely thou dost set them in slippery places. Thou dost cast them down to destruction. So the Bible offers this warning. This roadway here can be slippery. You need to be careful. You need to slow down. Its surface might look smooth and inviting. Drivers might be tempted to pick up their speed or continue with their speed here. Don't do that because drivers in these places are doomed to hit wet or icy patches and slide off into hell. Need to be careful. Need to be careful. There's one other spiritual traffic sign I'd like to look at with you this morning. And that is the one that says dead end. In Proverbs 14, verse 12, we're warned there that there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. It leads quite literally to a dead end. You know, some signs, literally speaking here, alert drivers to the fact that the street on which they propose to travel isn't going to take them anywhere that they want to go. It's going to pretty quickly come to an end. It's not going to get them to the destination that they would like to get to. There have been times when I have been trying to find a place and I've turned off down one street and it's not long before I see the sign, dead end. Well, I know where I'm going isn't a dead end, so I have to turn around and go back. You know, those signs can be helpful. Can save you some trouble, can save you some time. And it could be at the end of that dead end, you know, who knows what's there. You don't want to be going too fast and hit a dead end. Likewise, God wants to alert those on the way of wickedness that it will take them to no place that they want to go, but only to a destination of eternal death. So, let's heed the dead end sign in God's Word. So, the Bible has these and other informational and cautionary signs to help us on the road of life. And yet, some drive carelessly, even recklessly. There was a fellow, as a matter of fact, mentioned in 2 Kings 9, verse 20, Jehu by name. He eventually became the king of Israel. But he was identified by his driving because the Scripture says he drove furiously. I would dare say that probably means he drove his chariot rather fast and recklessly. He was not a safe driver. Well, you have those kinds of drivers on the spiritual roads too. They ignore traffic signs and they drive carelessly. They endanger their lives and property and those of others. And eventually they lose their driving privileges, perhaps because they've gotten so many tickets, because they've ignored the traffic signs, or they may even lose their lives because they get themselves involved in an accident because they have been ignoring the traffic signs. Well, God's people, on the other hand, are to be people who are known for making their way through life by paying careful attention to the traffic signs placed in His Word for their own well-being and even their salvation. As we saw from Jerry's reading at the beginning, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for not reading the signs. Of course, that was in a different context. I understand that with a different application. But still, the words themselves apply here also. Jesus is going to rebuke us in the day of judgment if we've not been careful to read and obey the traffic signs that He has placed in His Word. The paths of God, as mapped out in His Word, are the only good way. And along that way, we need to be careful to read the signs. It may be that there is someone here today who has not been reading the Bible, has not been reading the signs as he or she should, understands now that that's a mistake. That's a big mistake. It will lead to hell and wants to make a change. If that's the case with you, we bid you to come forward after having heard the Word of God and its evidences, after having come to believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, after having repented of your sins, to confess now that you do believe that Jesus is the Son of God, to be baptized into Him for the forgiveness of your sins. If you have done that, but since then have gotten off the road, perhaps haven't been paying attention to the signs, haven't been reading the map of God's Word as you should, just haven't been careful like you should have been, and want now to put things right with God and with His people once again by confession of your sins here before us today, we bid you to come forward. Let your needs be known. We would happily receive you, as now for your encouragement we stand and sing.